Reading from Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking,
"Where is the child who's been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star in the east and have come to pay him homage."
When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him,
"In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
Then Herod secretly called for the Magi and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying,
"Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I also may go and pay him homage."
When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen in the east, until it stopped over the place where the child was.
When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road.
When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled.
A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more.
Oh, really? What? Epiphany implies surprise revelations, unexpected turns, and new ideas. Like, I never considered that Magi could be women until I looked at the bulletin cover that was for this week. Wonder how that would have changed the story. There are many things that I didn't consider as a younger person, like living in the city, living in community with young adults, or being a pastor and preaching. I never imagined that. Life can be full of surprises and unexpected turns. Mary and Joseph never expected to parent Jesus. The people that we refer to as the Magi, I don't think they ever expected to make the journey and find what they found. We really don't know who the Magi were. We have this image that has been perpetuated down through the years. We don't know how many there were exactly, what their careers were, what they looked like, or how old they were. We do know that they noticed changes in the stars, that they were curious, knowledgeable, risk takers, and flexible. They traveled from a country east of Palestine because they noticed a star that was new, and that meant something to them. They were most likely not Jewish or had any association with the Jewish religion. They set off on a risky journey without really knowing the ending. And they were obviously more familiar with the Jewish prophets than what King Herod was. They did make one incorrect assumption. The new king would be the child of King Herod. But with the new information that he got, they were flexible, changed course, and went to Bethlehem. We know that they weren't put off by this surprise that Jesus wasn't a prince, that Mary and Joseph, his parents, weren't the king and queen, they weren't in a palace, and amazing, they believed what they saw, and they still gave Jesus and his parents these expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and they bowed down to worship him. How did they know? How did they change? This was an epiphany moment. Finally, they did believe in dreams, changed course once again, and went back home a different way. What a story they must have had to tell when they returned home. So as we heard, King Herod responded in a totally different way. There was a baby. He wanted to know where. He needed to stay in control, so he had to use his power to make sure that that would happen. Nothing was left to chance. Mary and Joseph were also on an unexpected path. Who would have thought when Mary said, "May it be to me as you have said," and when Joseph said, "Okay, I'll take Mary to be my wife," that they would end up in Bethlehem and eventually political refugees in Egypt. That's why I love this story. There are so many unexpected turns and saying, "Okay, so this is a direction that we need to go." Flexibility, surprises in this story. So many risk-taking, so many new possibilities. That's why we started with this, imagining that the Magi were women, because we're going to invite us to be flexible and use our imagination and think creatively as we walk through this morning's sermon. But we need all perspectives, or we would be stuck in the same patterns of changing all the time. Some people like to respond and say, "Oh, yes, let's do this." Others like to say, "Oh, yeah, that might be a good idea. Yeah, that's a good idea." And others are a little bit more like on their guard, and they take a little bit longer to process, and maybe after it's well thought through, then they'll change. Ron thrives on change. We've lived in different communities, held different jobs, and our household members change at least once a year. A few days after we bought our first home, about 45 years ago or so, Ron commented, "I can't wait till we move again." I'm like, "What?" Now, I'm okay with change. Otherwise, But it's harder for, I wouldn't have lived in five houses already, So, but it's harder for me to think creatively outside the box when I like what I have or what I have is currently working well. So you can credit Ron and a few others that I'm preaching here this morning. I plan to work all of my life, all of my career as a medical technologist. That's what I trained for, so that's what I was going to do. I liked it, and I worked in that field for about 20 years or so. But then alongside with Ron's encouragement, because I was home in between taking care of children, taking care of a baby, he thought I could probably learn how to write databases, learn database programming. And I thought, "Oh, yeah, that sounds pretty interesting." And so I started to do that. I read books and learned how to do it, and I loved that too. So I eventually left medical technology and did focus more on doing database programming. And then came the opportunity to attend seminary. I was again persuaded by Ron to take some courses while he finished his MDiv at Eastern Mennonite Seminary. I was 45 years old. I thought I was too old to study. I know you guys that are 45 don't think you're too old to study, but I did. I was satisfied with my current career as a database developer, and I did not in any way consider myself seminary material. During the first semester, a mentor commented, "I see a light in your eyes when you talk about what you've learned. Perhaps you should consider completing a degree." That was an epiphany moment. I had never even considered that. I would never have dreamed that I would pastor and especially preach at New Holland, Laurel Street, and here at CMCL. It wouldn't have happened without guiding stars and dreams and people over the last 25 years that noticed things that I didn't. Embracing a new opportunity happened here for many last August. A star was noticed in the spring when I was volunteering in the cold room at the Blessings of Hope Selection Center. Andre was there too, and he commented, "Wouldn't it be fun to do this with a whole lot of volunteers from CMCL on a Sunday morning? Couldn't do it here at Blessings of Hope, but I wonder if we could do it. I wonder if any church ever does service projects on a Sunday morning." This was an epiphany moment as we continued the conversation about planning a service Sunday. But interesting also, and it's another star that was noticed as a result of that, was the little food bank that's sitting outside now. It was a service Sunday project suggestion, and it continues to serve the neighbors. It's amazing to me how good things can happen when our eyes and our ears and our heart notice the star that God has set up in front of us, and we give ourselves permission to not only notice it, but to imagine or wonder and then take the risk to try something new. This past fall, you were invited to imagine several times and share your dreams about ways that we can be a church community together, to think outside of the box. These ideas were passed on to the pastoral team and staff, who have grouped and prioritized the suggestions. And the program commission is going to get a chance next week to review and prioritize the suggestions. And that all goes to council. And they're going to help to develop five-year goals. And I wonder how that's going to surprise us. I wonder how our relationship with God and one another and our community will deepen because of the new stars that we have seen and the dreams that just might emerge. Another dream that we have as a CMCL community is welcoming two new staff team members. Now, they're not here yet. We need a youth and young adult pastor who would also preach and assist Susan in pastoral care, as well as an administrator who would assist CMCL moving forward together. I wonder who might be surprised to find themselves in one of these roles someday. I wonder if it could be someone that's here this morning that's part of our faith community. I wonder if we could each encourage someone to embrace these roles as someone encouraged me 25 years ago. I wonder. This year, I wonder how we might each one of us, we don't need, 130 pastors that are sitting here this morning. We just need two. But I wonder how each one of us might be surprised by stars and dreams that guide us into places where we're not sure at all that we're sure, where we're okay with not knowing everything right up front, but where we have the faith that God has called us into a way of being salt and light in the world that we hadn't even expected. I wonder what God is calling each one of us to this coming year. There's a prayer practice in churches around the world, and Jane alluded to that with the children, where a star word is given on Epiphany Sunday. There's lots of reasons behind the traditions. We know the Magi, of course, followed a star, which ultimately led them to Jesus. But these star words can be a tool to reflect on God's presence, both in the moment and in hindsight. I also know, at least this is true from in my experience, that our most common prayer practice is to talk to God as opposed to listening or silence and contemplation. And this star word practice invites us into a rhythm of prayer that involves listening and reflecting. So in a moment, you're all going to be invited to select a star word. They're going to be passed in stacks down the aisle. Just take the top one and pass it on. Consider how this word might surprise you or guide you in the year ahead. Put this star word somewhere where you will see it, maybe on your bathroom mirror or your kitchen, your office, where you can be reminded of it. Watch for the ways that God might be moving through the meanings and definitions that this word contains. Invite us to pray before we receive these words. Beckoning God, your star calls us forward, and the gifts that await are too great to hand over to fear. May the star words we receive challenge and inspire us. May we live into that mystery of the word that we received. Amen.